hear the word of the Lord. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And then skipping to verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter had remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Thus ends the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away, but this is God's word. God's word stands forever. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on the ministry of the word to our hearts tonight. Oh Lord, our God, we are walking on holy ground tonight as we read these things. Oh Lord, we cannot understand the depth of the love of Christ except as we see a glimpse of it in these passages and his willingness to go to the cross and to bear the wrath of the Father upon himself that we might be set free, that we who are unworthy might receive grace and forgiveness and a new life and eternal life. Oh Lord, we pray for wisdom tonight and understanding. We pray for the wisdom and help of the Spirit to see our Savior more clearly tonight and to see ourselves in light of the authority of your word. We pray for your help and strength in understanding these things. We pray that you would humble us under your word. And Lord, we pray you'd help me, your servant, to rightly divide your word and preach it faithfully. Come and visit us, Lord. May the risen Christ, who stands among his lampstands as is revealed in God's word, as he stands among the church, may he shepherd our flock here in this room. You would lead us to still waters and green pastures tonight and feed our souls. We ask for your help and particularly your blessing on the preaching of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. There is an outline to tonight's message on the back of your insert if you'd like to follow along. You know, there are many things that set the scriptures apart from other ancient texts. Our confession speaks of the heavenliness of the style, the consent of all the parts of the scripture that written over thousands of years, it has the same theme. We know the scriptures are set apart in the power of the truths that are revealed, the accuracy of the revelation about ourselves, that it uncovers us, it unmasks us, it convicts us, divides our soul as it is sharper than a double-edged sword. There are many differences between the Old and New Testaments and the stories of other ancient literature. One major difference is that in the scripture, the faults of the heroes in the historical accounts are all exposed. Their misgivings, their weaknesses, their foibles, their fears, their missteps, their flaws, their cracks, and their sins are on full display, full view. There's no political spin doctor on the scene directing traffic, covering up the evidence. There's nothing to see here. Everything's fine. No, the sins of the heroes of the Bible, even the greatest heroes of the Bible, are on full display. Noah was a great man of faith who in fear built the ark. But Noah had his weaknesses and sins. Abraham, the man of great faith, the father of the faith, doubted God, took matters into his own hands. Moses, the meekest man, disobeyed God and struck the rock. Solomon, the wisest man, had multiple wives. David, the victorious giant slayer, had a man murdered to cover up adultery. They all have their sins in full view for all to see. There's only one perfect hero in the Bible, only one who never sinned, only one who lived a perfect life. All the others are in his shadow. All the others point to him, only the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, our attention is on another great hero of the church, Peter, the great apostle. In our series, you might remember in the book of Acts, he's a man of great faith. He responded boldly, remember, to intimidation. He kept right on preaching Jesus is the Christ. He replied valiantly when the Jewish leadership told him to stop. He goes, no, we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. He confronted error and falsehood, Ananias and Sapphira. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? He courageously replied to the Sanhedrin, we must obey God rather than men. He rebuked Simon the magician. He is the one who welcomed eventually the Apostle Paul, a changed man. He confronted sickness and the healing of Aeneas. He confronted death, as we saw recently in the book of Acts, as Dorcas was raised to life by the power of the Lord. And as we saw last week, and we'll see in the weeks ahead in this whole scene that we're coming to in Acts about Cornelius' house, how he accepted the Lord's instruction even against his own previous scruples and preferences because of the authority of the Word of God. He humbly bowed to the authority of the Word. We've seen Peter at his best in the book of Acts. Well, here tonight we see Simon Peter at his worst. This is Simon Peter's lowest valley. He eventually falls into a pit of sorrow or pit of despair, bitterly weeping at his own failure, completely undone. by his own words. It's a heart-wrenching night for Peter and a heart-wrenching couple of days until he's restored. The Lord, however, has recorded it not as a blemish against Peter, but the Lord has recorded it for our benefit, for the church down through the ages until the Lord Jesus comes back, because the Spirit of God has so much to teach us about ourselves and about God's grace. We have here the threefold denial of the Apostle Peter, denying that he was a disciple of Jesus, denying that he even knew him, denying that he was ever associated with him. So what was the cause of all this? How did this happen? How could a man who had seen all the miracles of Jesus firsthand, front row seat, even loading up the baskets of the leftover bread in the boat, as we heard recently from our brother Ben preaching through Mark. Peter heard all of the sermons of the best preacher that ever walked the earth. And he listened to all of Christ's private teaching when they didn't understand something and they would ask him privately. He was even an eyewitness to his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus in all of his glory, and yet here before a servant girl, he denies him. How could a man so rich in spiritual blessings fall so far? I think we look at Peter, at least I do, and I think, well, if I had all of those blessings, I'd never deny him. But that's in each one of our hearts. How could he fall so far so fast? I'd like to take a look at that with you tonight for our own instruction and self-examination. First of all, tonight, remember his boasting. Remember his boasting. The Lord Jesus had plainly said to Peter, warned him and all of his disciples. You might remember this from Luke chapter 22. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But when you have turned back, encourage your brothers. That was Satan's plan. To shake the disciples. Actually, it's in the plural. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all like wheat. To shake the disciples, and particularly Peter. Much like Satan had to ask permission to sift Job. Once again, Satan could only go as far as the Lord would allow him. Satan has asked to mess with you, Peter. Behold, Satan demanded to have you, he says, that he might sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again or turned back, strengthen your brothers. Do you remember how Peter replied to that warning? Do you remember how he replied? He boasted. He boasted. You don't even know me. You haven't got a clue of how brave I am. Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times. Jesus, when he warned the disciples after the Passover that they would all fall away, Jesus warned Peter. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it's written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Do you remember how Peter replied to that? He boasted again. As if he's saying, you don't even know me. You don't know how brave I am. Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. These other guys are a bunch of losers compared to me. These guys, they're way beneath my pay grade. I'll be with you through thick and thin. Let me ask you, why do you think Peter said this? Why did he make such proud boasts? Well, obviously he viewed himself too highly. He thought he was different than anybody else, everybody else. He thought he was braver than the rest. He thought he knew better than Jesus, and it overflowed from his heart into his words. You know, the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. He viewed himself too highly. He thought he was of a different caliber than the rest of the disciples. You know, many, many Christians can fall into that same trap. I'm sure all of us in this room have done that, where we say to ourselves or we say to others, don't worry. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. Maybe some of us even thought it before the face of God, like Peter does here. Simon was boasting that he was on a different spiritual level than the rest of these knuckleheads. You know. Jesus warned the disciples that they could not follow him now. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus said, will you lay down your life for me? Truly tonight, the rooster will not crow till you've denied me three times. Jesus warns him more than once. You cannot follow me. But what happened after the rest? In his spiritual pride, Peter followed at a distance. That's how he ended up in the courtyard of Caiaphas, where he denied Jesus. He's there lurking in the shadows. He shouldn't have followed at all. We all know that hindsight is 20/20. You can always see better when you're looking back at your actions. I'm sure Peter thought, if I hadn't been in that courtyard, none of this crazy business with the crowing rooster would have happened. What's at the root of all these boastful comments? It's pride, right? Pride comes before the fall. And Peter fell hard. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, when pride comes, disgrace follows. Proverbs 29 says, one's pride will bring him low. Peter went low. Proverbs 26, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? That's Peter. There's more hope for a fool than for him. Pride is actually the sin that Obadiah, the prophet, is addressing that we'll see on Wednesday nights. Obadiah, verse 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? I'll never fall. So how did Peter fall so far so fast? Well, in some, he was full of hot air. Full of boasting about himself. The Lord had great plans for Peter, but he had to go through this testing first. He had to go through these trials for the Lord to shave off this ugly pride. He had to go through temptations and failures. He had to go through temptations and failures in order to be the man of God, full of grace, that he needed to be a shepherd of grace. Well, secondly, how did Peter fall so far so fast? Well, plain and simple, he ignored the word, right? He ignored the word of God. He ignored the cautions of the Lord Jesus. He neglected the warnings. How did he fall so far so fast? Well, it was his neglect. Neglect has gotten us all into trouble, right? We've all neglected to heed the warning signs along the road of life. Even literally sometimes, I can remember my mom warning me one time about our lane out in the country and how bad it was. I neglected to follow her instructions and I ended up in the ditch. We've all neglected the kind of instruction of people that God has put in our path to guide us. And looking back, we say, why didn't I listen? Peter's great problem wasn't just pride. It was neglect. His pride led to neglect, not just one time. It was time after time. He neglected the Lord Jesus as being wiser. Even though he knew Jesus was different, he had professed to be the Son of the living God, and he had seen him in all of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, and yet he neglected what Jesus said to warn him. He neglected the warning about Satan, as if dealing with Satan's sifting would be a cakewalk for him. He neglected the instruction of Jesus, as we read in our text tonight, to watch and pray, not just once, but more than once. He neglected the repeated instruction from Jesus that he would be arrested and crucified. There's more than one time where Jesus pauses with his disciples, as it's described in the Gospels. He takes them aside and he says, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him and he will be raised on the third day. Okay, let's go." That was the plan. And yet when they came to arrest him, Matthew tells us this, "Behold, one of those who were with Jesus," it's chapter 26 here, verse 51. "One of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword and struck off the servant of the high priest." Or struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Matthew doesn't tell us who that was. John tells us who that was. You know who that was? That was Peter. That was Peter who sliced off the ear of Malchus. John even gives us his name. I think Peter was thinking, "I'll show how brave I am." Call it what it was. He neglected God's word. He had a careless disregard, as if the word of God didn't apply to him. You know, isn't that the root of all of our problems? So many of our foolish choices are because we don't think the instruction applies to us. We don't think the instruction means we're included. And then we end up with a wrecked life. Like drivers who don't think the warnings on the road apply to them, or the speed limit on the road doesn't apply to them. The root of the problem is we in our sinful pride neglect the instructions. Well, lastly tonight, what were the consequences of his pride and neglect? Well, the obvious one there is that he denied the Lord. He denied Jesus, that he even knew him. And it got progressively worse, as Matthew tells us, until he called down curses on his own life. He took an oath before God that he didn't know him. And then he called down curses. You know what that means? May my life be cursed and damned if I'm not telling the truth. Three times he denied Jesus. Incidentally, if you look the end of the Gospels, the three times was used by the Lord in his restoration, you know. Remember when Jesus says to him along the beach after the resurrection, "Simon, do you love me?" "Oh, you know that I love you." "Simon, do you really love me?" "Oh, Lord, you know that." "Simon, do you love me?" Simon was grieved that he asked three times because of the threefold denial. You know, the Lord uses that again. We'll be coming to that in the book of Acts. It's three times that the sheep comes down out of heaven that he's told to eat from. You ever notice that? In Acts chapter 10, three times, take and eat. Three times it comes down. It's as if the Lord is saying, "It's me." Remember, Peter? What were the consequences? He denied even knowing Christ. And secondly, Peter went through the lowest valley of his life, the darkest night he'd ever known. Luke's record of this, as Peter certainly recounted it to him, Luke says, "I interviewed all the eyewitnesses." In Luke chapter 22, verse 61, it says, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." So across the courtyard, Peter was there denying Jesus in the courtyard of Caiaphas. Somehow through the crowd, Jesus made eye contact with Peter. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said, "Before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times." The rooster crows, Peter turns, he looks through the crowd, Jesus makes eye contact with him. and he's humbled to the dust. And he went out and wept bitterly. There's so much to learn from Peter's example here, from what Peter went through. God gives this to us in his kindness and mercy. There's so much to learn from Peter's foolishness. I'll start the list, and you can go home and think about more of these things as you improve on the sermon. There are serious consequences, number one. There are serious consequences and great bitterness when in sinful pride we turn away from the Lord. There's great sorrow in disobedience and great tears. There's a warning for us. It's a warning for us. But it's also an encouragement when there are those who are going through times like Peter to weep with those who weep, who are in the midst of a dark night like Peter went through. There are serious consequences, great bitterness when in sinful pride we turn away from the Lord. And secondly, you see the progression of Peter's sin here. Sin grows like yeast, right? Pride turns to neglect, turns to disobedience, turns to denial, turns to an oath before God, turns to curses coming down on him. That's why we're to flee from sin. We're to run from it. We don't dance around and pretend it's not really anything important. We're to run from it. Thirdly, you see in Peter's example here the difference between a believer and a hypocrite or an unbeliever. Peter turns back to the Lord for his grace and is restored. Judas, in his betrayal, saw nothing but despair. He could not see any forgiveness possible. And then fourthly, there is something of Peter in all of us, right? Peter thinks he's mature. Peter thinks, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'll never fall. And yet he doesn't know his own heart. And he can't keep his mouth shut. Peter still has to grow. And so do we, each one of us. We need to set aside our pride and humble ourselves before the Word and always seek to keep on growing. That's what Peter says. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, he writes. And lastly, what do we learn from all this? Well, the same grace afforded to Peter is available for you and for me every day. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, years later, years after this experience, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. But be careful, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Peter knew that firsthand, didn't he? Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Same grace is available to you. You might turn back to him. God is a God of great grace. There's a wonderful word as we close. At the end of Mark's gospel, after the resurrection, when the women come to the tomb, you know, looking for the body of Jesus to anoint it with spices, and the angel meets them and says, he's not here. He's risen from the dead. Mark 16, verse 7. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. Tell his disciples and Peter. Why did he say that? What was the message the angel was saying? Why didn't he just say, go tell his disciples, he'll meet you in Galilee? Well, I think Peter could have thought, I'm not a disciple anymore. I denied him. I rejected him. I called down curses upon myself. the message from the throne of God through the voice of the angel was, go tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter, that he's going before you into Galilee. What grace, amazing grace, right? Greater than all of our sins. Amazing grace. Do you know that grace tonight? I call you tonight to cry out to the Lord. No one is ever too far away to be forgiven. Cry out to God tonight for mercy. Let us pray.